Father, help me please tonight to preach your word. Thank you for blessing us this morning. You really spoke, especially to our visitors, and I sure thank you for that. And pray, God, you'd help us tonight in Jesus' name and amen. So we studied perfection. We saw from the Bible definition, that perfect doesn't mean sinless. It means complete, entire, whole, all that someone can be with the help of God. I'm going to show you tonight that that's an attainable goal, but first of all, long term. Psalm 138 and verse number 8 says, "The Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. Thy mercy, O Lord, endureth forever. Forsake not the works of thine own hands." Isn't that a great phrase? The Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. So my task is to cooperate with God as He tries to work out in my life everything that my salvation makes possible. Look in Philippians chapter 1 and Colossians chapter 1. We'll see this in the New Testament. Philippians chapter 1. And Colossians chapter 1, this is our certain hope. Colossians 1 and verse number 25, whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus, whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. So here's the objective. An unsaved person hears the gospel from the lips of a saved person, and they trust Christ as their Savior. Amen. Praise the Lord. That settles salvation. But then they continue to hear the Word of God from the lips of God's ministers that they might go on to perfection. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Now, I'm thankful for every church that preaches salvation. There aren't enough of them, but I'm thankful for every one of them. But if you think there are a few churches that preach salvation, how few are there that preach going on to perfection to those who are saved? And most people that are saved don't really care much for church or the Bible or for preaching, but I want to go on and be everything that God can make me. Let me say this, and you'll take this the right way. If you don't take it the right way, it's on you. It's not on me. But I was sitting and listening this morning and this evening, these testimonies. And when you got saved, I'm speaking to a room full of people who are ministering in nursing homes, have bus routes, who minister in prisons and jails, who travel to preach at rescue missions, who spend their vacation time and their money to go on mission trips. Had you gotten saved and not gotten in the right kind of church, those things would never have happened in your life. And it takes the encouragement and the teaching and the motivation and the example of what you get in the right kind of church to take you from being saved to being someone who's actually a witness for Jesus Christ. And I'm not, nobody's trying to take any credit or getting glory to themselves. I'm just telling you, if you hadn't been in a church like this, it would never have crossed your mind to take a little microphone and go preach on the street. It would never have crossed your mind to go on a Saturday afternoon and knock on people's doors or give up your evenings to go visit the families of children in poor neighborhoods and all of that. I'm telling you, it's great to be saved. But when you get saved, you need to get in a good church so you can become more than just saved. So God can take you on to perfection, and thank you for your cooperation and participation in what God wants to do in your lives. Look in Philippians chapter number 1. I was talking to Brother Michael, and he's traveling, filling in for a church, and I don't say anything bad about that congregation. I don't mean it this way. They go to church Sunday morning, and then go home and live as though that's all there is to do in life, it never occurs to them to do more until they have a preacher showing them from the Bible that there's more to do. And it never even crosses their mind that I could be more than just saved and waiting to go to heaven. I could actually be of service to the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the purpose of our fellowship and of our preaching. So look in verse number 6, Philippians chapter number 1. This matches Psalm 138. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. So the God that saved you, that was the start of his work. Yes, sir. He's going to keep working in you and keep working in you all the way until we get to glory. Now, is it possible? Is there any possibility of attaining perfection in this life? Well, Genesis 6, let's go back here. Genesis chapter number 6. And look at verse number 8. Genesis chapter 6. And verse 8. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man, there's salvation, and perfect in all his generations, and Noah walked with God. Now here's the statement God put in the Bible. He doesn't say Noah was sinless. In fact, he says all have sinned. He says there's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and said not. But God said Noah was perfect in his generations. Everything I could make Noah, Noah allowed me to make him. Everything I could have done with Noah's life, Noah allowed me to do that with his life. That's pretty good. That's what God said about the man. Look in 1 Kings chapter 15. 1 Kings chapter 15. You say, preacher, I don't think I'll ever get to the place where there's nothing wrong in my life. Nobody said that. I don't think I'll ever get to the place where I've done everything that God wants a man to do. I understand that. Just take a look here. The Bible says in 1 Kings 15 verse 11, and Asa did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord, as did David his father. Now you want a king? You want somebody to vote for in the next election? Here you go. And he took away the Sodomites out of the land. And removed all the idols that his father had made. You that just came back from Greece, and those of you that went with us in the Thessalonica days. Better be paying attention. Isn't it amazing that these people, 90% of them claim to be Christians, and their cities are filled with idols? To false gods. Tear those things down. Throw them in the sea, man. Get rid of that stuff. Use it for landfill. Anyway, so he removed all the idols that his father's made. Also, Maacah's mother, even her he removed from being queen because she had made an idol in a grove. He took his mother, put her out of the royal family. Isn't that amazing? And burnt it by the brook Kidron. But the high places were not removed. He didn't get that done. Nevertheless, Asa's heart was perfect with the Lord all his days. Here's what God said. That man didn't accomplish everything he would have hoped to have accomplished, but he did everything he could possibly have done in his lifetime. His heart was perfect. Before the Lord, God couldn't have made Asa's heart any better in its relationship to God. Amen. That's pretty good. Everybody said, well, nobody's perfect. Noah was. Well, nobody's perfect. Asa was. That's what God said. Look at Job chapter 1. I know you know this one. Job chapter number 1. But this is God's testimony here. Job chapter number 1. There was a man in the land of Uz, whose name was Job. And that man was perfect and upright and one that feared God and eschewed evil. Now, did Job have some problems? He did. Did Job have shortcomings? He did. But the Bible says he was perfect. In fact, look at verse number 1 of chapter 2. Again, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them to present himself before the Lord. And the Lord said unto Satan, from whence comest thou? And Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth and walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil? God said of Job, he's everything I can make a man. Isn't that a blessing? So you got three people the Bible says were perfect, and that's without the indwelling Holy Spirit. Come to Philippians. Well, can you show me that in the New Testament? I can. Come to Philippians chapter number 3. Philippians 3. Paul said he hadn't gotten there yet, but some people at Philippi had. Look at verse number 12. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that which I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. This one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Now, that's not salvation. He's not pressing for salvation. He has salvation. He's pressing for perfection. He said, I got salvation. I love the Lord. I'm living a dedicated Christian life, but I haven't got to perfection yet. Verse 15. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. If anything, you be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. You know what he said? He said, there's some people in that church at Philippi. They're there. They're there. That's pretty good. Now, Noah didn't endure the trials that Job endured. And Asa had leadership and governmental responsibilities that Noah never had. Noah had a boat building job that nobody at Philippi ever had. Here's why you can't be the judge and jury of your brothers and sisters in Christ. Somebody got saved 3 months ago might be closer to perfection than you are, because everything God showed them, they have put it into practice in their life. Everything they know to do, they might be doing it. You say, how come I'm doing this and that guy's not, you know, the Lord's blessing him and hey, he ought to be blessing me. I'm doing more than he is. Yeah, but there might be like 15 things you know to do that you're not doing. And he might be all in. So when we're talking about perfection, we're not talking about sinless. We're not talking about you're doing every single thing to do it. We're talking about someone who has let God do everything God could do in their life. And so now, come to Hebrews chapter 6, and I'll show it to you. Hebrews chapter number 6, and verse number 1. Hebrews 6, 1. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works, faith toward God, doctrine of baptism, laying on of hands, resurrection of the dead, eternal judgment. So these are saved people. They don't have to go on to holding on to salvation. And if they don't go on, they won't lose salvation. What are they supposed to go on to? Perfection. And what happens if they don't go on? They lose the opportunity to be perfected. Keep your finger right there and come to Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter number 8. Well, Brother James, I agree with what you've showed us the last few weeks, and I'm saved and love the Lord. I'm trying to serve God. I wouldn't say I'm perfect, but I'd like to go on to perfection. Can you give me just a quick recommendation as to how I might go on to perfection? Okay. Verse number 11. The parable is this. Luke 8:11. The seed is the word of God. You have a copy? Got a copy of the Word of God? Yes, sir. You know a place where you can hear the Word of God taught and preached? Okay. Those by the wayside are they that hear, then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. That's not me. Is that you? I'm saved. Praise the Lord. Anybody here saved?
Amen.
All right. They on the rock are they, which when they hear, receive the word with joy, but these have no root, for which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. Well, Jesus Christ, the root. He's root of Abraham, root of David, and so some people, whoa, that's great news. That's a great message. Maybe God will put my marriage back together. Maybe God will bring me, give my health back. Maybe I'll get rich. And then God doesn't do these things they want him to do. And okay, I tried that. I didn't want that. They never had any root. Not saved. Not saved. 14. They which fell among, that which fell among thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life and bring no fruit to perfection. Didn't say they weren't saved. Didn't say they are saved. You know what he said? If you care more about anything than you do pleasing God, you'll never get to perfection. It's okay to care about your family. It's okay to care about your job. It's okay to care about your health. But when you say, I can't serve God because I got a family, and I can't serve God because I got a job, and I can't serve God because I've got to, you know, work out or whatever the case might be, that's not an issue of salvation, but it certainly can become an issue of perfection. The cares of this life limit people from going on to perfection. And then he said, and riches. And riches. Now, we're not all rich. We're rich compared to people in what they call third world countries. I guess we're rich in, compared to people in second world countries, wherever that is. You don't hear much about second world countries. But I mean, we're rich enough to go to Arizona for a Navajo trip, and we're rich enough to go to Corinth for a Europe mission trip, and we're rich enough to go to a shopping mall or a restaurant instead of staying home and eating, you know, crackers. So and there's nowhere in the Bible that God condemns being rich. But the will to be rich and the pursuit of riches, or the settling down to enjoy riches once you have them, can really get in the way of God making you all he wants you to be. The rich man didn't go to hell because he was rich, and Lazarus didn't go to paradise because he was poor. That's not the truth. But a man who's rich toward God can go on to perfection while he enjoys using his riches.
Yes, sir.
But a man that acquires riches and then gets bogged down in spending his money, it hinders him from going on to perfection. And then he says, cares of this life, riches, and pleasures of this life. Pleasures of this life. We got some great shots from the Corinth trip, and there's a picture of somebody witnessing, and there's a picture of somebody preaching, and then there's pictures of people jumping off the cliff, and it's okay. It looked like a lot of fun. It looked like a great time. Big high cliff. At first they're going off the little cliff, and then they're going off the bigger cliff, and then they're taunting each other. Come on, don't be a chicken. You can go off the cliff. And I mean, how long has that been going on? You can hear Cain just saying, Abel, Abel, Abel. And he just that two-syllable chant, you know, to try to get people to do what they don't want to do. Listen, I wouldn't have a Christianity that wasn't pleasurable. I wouldn't follow Jesus if it wasn't enjoyable. It's a great life. But this country and this culture offers you the opportunity to have so much fun and so many channels and so much entertainment and so many places to go that it just chokes the spiritual life right out of you. And so what did the Lord say? If you can be saved and take care of everything you're responsible for, and if you can be saved and acquire riches, and if you can be saved and enjoy pleasure, praise God. But as soon as the things you care about start choking out the word, And as soon as your money or your pursuit of money starts choking out the word, and as soon as the pleasure of this life starts choking out the word, you got to get away from it. I know I'm one. We've got other people here. I know people go off to college and sit through all those classes and spend all those years on the university and just live a great Christian life, and they're a good witness for the Lord. And if you can do that, go for it. Get a good education, have a good career, but the day you start wavering, and you start doubting your faith when that professor's talking, and you start giving in to those invitations from those worldly people and organizations, you're better off dropping out of school and working a minimum wage job than you are not going on to perfection.
Amen.
Well, I mean, we got radio programs and book ministry, and we're building a building out here. I've prayed since I got saved for God to give me all the money He can trust me with and no more. I don't want riches to choke out the Word of God. And if God could, you say, God answers everybody's prayers. Are you kidding? You know how many people prayed to win that Powerball thing? I mean, people God had never heard pray before, and they're, Lord, give me the right numbers here. And I didn't play it, but I thought about it. I thought, right, well. And I didn't, because I don't want any more money than God can trust me with. And some of you said, Lord, I'm really struggling. I'm really struggling to get by. Maybe you're right where you need to be. Keep the word from getting choked out. And pleasures, I hope you don't just live with your family. I hope you enjoy your family. I hope you don't just go to church. I hope you enjoy church. And hope you don't just make money. I hope you enjoy, you know, doing things in the weekends and afternoons and evenings. Oh, well, won't you have a good life? Have a happy life. When all that stuff starts keeping you away from your Bible and your prayer closet and church and from serving God, you need to drop it. All right, back to Hebrews 6. Almost done. Back to Hebrews 6. Look at verse 3. And this will we do if God permit. This will we do if God permit. Here's what I'd recommend. Instead of waiting for God to call you or waiting for God to move you or waiting for God to lead you, I just take off and go as hard and far and fast for God as I could and let Him stop me when I'd gone too far. We just sit around and, well, you know, if God ever tells me to do something, I'll do it. How about do things God hadn't even asked you to do and see if He just puts the brakes on you?
Yeah. Good. Sure.
Amen. Just say, God, this is what I want to do for you. Can I have a permit?
Yeah.
You give me a permit. You give me a permit to win souls. Give me a permit to read my Bible all the way through. Give me a permit, God, to memorize Scripture. You give me a permit to have a great prayer life. God, I'm going to try it. I'm going to try. I just need Your permission. Amen. So sit around waiting for God to move you. How about take off and see if He stops you? He probably won't. He'll probably let you go. Amen. All right, Lord, thank You for the Bible. Thank You for Your Word. We sure love it. Sure appreciate it. Pray, God, You'd help us to go on, be everything You want us to be. And we thank You in Jesus' name and amen.